Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Yesterday, Racing New South Wales had a major announcement that prize money, as of the 1st of July, will be returning to normal levels, which seems quite incredible after the period that we have been through with COVID-19, and also that the Spring Carnival dates will remain as per normal. Peter Melandis, the boss of Racing New South Wales, joins me this morning. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Very well, thank you.
Well, congratulations on that announcement yesterday from Racing New South Wales, but racing as a whole, it's a huge announcement, the fact that you've been able to get back to normal prize money so quickly. How did Racing New South Wales do it?
Look, our revenues were better than what we first expected. The wagering on our races, especially from corporate bookmakers, went up considerably. The TAB, without having the TAB agencies and the pubs and clubs open, had a decline. But the decline was arrested by the other wagering operators. We saw that the TABs opened this week, and 50% of the turnover comes from the TAB outlets, from the pubs and clubs. So we believe that some of that revenue will come back, and there was no reason we shouldn't put the prize money back up for our participants. At the end of the day, prize money is the dividend, and we want to maximise the return to all our participants in New South Wales.
So did it cost Racing New South Wales a lot of money, this closure? And I know you had to cut the championships in half, the prize money there, but without having crowds, a reduction in sponsorships, the closure of those tabs, was there at the end of the day a huge negative, or was it not as bad as what you were predicting for?
Look, no, it was a huge negative. We certainly had a decline in our revenues, especially the race clubs, and the decline in the TAB. And the TAB is still our main benefactor. We rely on the totalisator and the TAB operating, and when they shut their agencies and they shut the pubs and clubs, well, that had a devastating effect on us. Not having our major race courses with crowds certainly was a problem. There was no catering revenue, the sponsorships were down, and also the economy was doing it tough. It wasn't just racing. So, but overall, though, the wagering kept up, and in instances, it was actually up much higher than the previous year, and there was no other sport being played, so we had a bit of a monopoly on the wagering industry, and we took full advantage of it. And now that we've come out the other side, it's only fair that we then immediately bring our prize money back.
I know there's a lot of talk about how much longer this situation with COVID-19 will continue. These prize money levels, are they locked in stone if we get a second wave, or if something occurs that may hinder the return of crowds or what goes on in the future?
Look, we're very confident that there won't be a second wave. The infection rate at the moment in New South Wales is less than 0.5%. For the last 2 or 3 days, there's been no new infections other than the ones that have been coming from overseas. Our chief medical officer here believes it's highly unlikely there'll be a second wave, so that gave us confidence to announce the prize money. Putting my other hat on in the NRL, our pandemic expert there said for someone to catch the virus now is 1,001. Well, I don't see too many winners at Randwick at 1,001, so I'm pretty comfortable with the risk analysis that there won't be a second wave.
Speaking of that, it's been phenomenal what you've been able to do with the NRL, getting that sport back before any other major sport that had to halt. Now, you are the boss of both NRL and also racing, and previously you've enjoyed some clear air with your Spring Carnival, but you've made the decision to not move the racing Spring Carnival, even though the NRL moves into that period. Why have you made that decision, Peter?
Look, it's not good for the NRL to go against the Everest, and it's not good for the Everest to go against the NRL. So I'm sure we will come up with a solution that satisfies both of us, and that we won't clash. And we're in that discussion now, so hopefully we'll have a resolution of that in the next couple of weeks.
So in regards to what would you do there? Because you've outlined your race dates. What are you going to move the NRL Grand Final to a different?
No, we clash with the week before the Grand Final.
Which
But last year they were played on a Friday night and a Saturday night. So even if they were still on the same dates, they're still at night, so they shouldn't affect us anyway. But we can look at possibly on a Sunday rather than a Saturday for the rugby league. But that's down the track. And as I said, it's not good for rugby league to go against the Everest, and it's not good for the Everest to go against rugby league. Even if I wasn't in the position of being in both sports, I would be approaching them to come to a resolution.
What about for the remainder of the carnival? You've got no issues with keeping it as is?
No, not at this stage. I mean, we think that we have, you know, the circumstances are the circumstances, so we just need to do the best we can. And I think by having our dates at those times is the best for us. And we think that we can certainly generate substantial wagering revenue during those times. And the Golden Eagle in particular last year, taking away the Queen Elizabeth with the Winx factor, it was our second biggest race for turnover in the year after the Everest. So people have engaged in these new events, and we want to build those brands, and we want to build those brands on the dates that we're going to be running them into the future.
What are your thoughts on proposed changes to the Victorian Spring Carnival? Would you like to see it move back? Would that have any impact on the New South Wales Carnival?
No, not at all. I've always said my preference is that we do have two big days in Victoria and New South Wales and put the spotlight on racing. And I think that's worked over the last couple of years with the Melbourne Racing Club. But in saying that, the Melbourne Racing Club is one of the most innovative clubs in Australia. And they always look outside the square. They realise that you can't be complacent. They realise that you can't live on past glories. And in order to attract the next generation, you need to look at doing new things. And I applaud them for doing that, because racing has been too complacent over the years. And, you know, we've lost generations. And if we continue to be complacent, we'll continue to slide backwards.
At the moment, I know there's a review from Racing Australia, or they're about to start a review on the Australia-wide pattern. As this area, or this period of time, the pandemic, could it bring the race clubs closer together? Could we have a better consultative process on the pattern Australia-wide, do you think?
Well, this is the opportunity, because the pattern, to be fair, is all over the place. You know, a Group 1 is supposed to be the grand final, the ultimate event, yet there's a lot of Group 1s that begin the preparation rather than being the grand final at the end. Some of them haven't lived up to being Group 1s. Look, and that's not just in New South Wales, but Victoria and other states. So if we're going to be real fanatics of the pattern system, the pattern's got to be correct. And at the moment, it's a dog's breakfast.
Mm. Just on your prize money, Pete, I know the Everest is, and to stay at $15 million is unbelievable. The Golden Eagle, $7.5 million. The Everest is funded, obviously, by slot holders as well. But when you look at what we've been going through, the situation with the finances of most Australians, is that prize money now almost a little too high? Is that almost unpalatable for the general population?
No, because I don't see the lotto dividend going down. These things are aspirational, and in racing, like any other industry, you need to have aspiration. With the Golden Eagle, 10% of it goes to to charities. 750,000 goes to charities, as you quite correctly point out. 7.5 million of the 15 million at the moment comes from the slot owners. There's also sponsorship, and the wagering pays for the remainder. And if you want to build a brand, you've got to continue with what you're doing. And the Everest is now a brand. It's designed for the under-30s. All our crowds have been under-30s. And the great thing about it, how quickly it's been able to generate wagering revenue to substantial amounts. So by reducing it, it would harm the brand. And we don't want to do that at this stage. And racing's got to have aspirational races. And our two aspirational, there's three of them, is the Everest, the Golden Eagle, and the Queen Elizabeth. And we will continue to have aspirational prize money for those races.
One of the MRC's main reasons for wanting to push back the Caulfield Cup Carnival was to have a better chance of getting big crowds back to the races. Now, you've made a pretty big, bold statement saying you want crowds back by the 1st of July. Do you think that is achievable? And what type of crowds do you think we'll have back at the races? How big will they be?
Look, the crowds need to be capped, and ideally you'd want to have them in the hospitality areas where the clubs generate the majority of their revenue. Look, there's no reason, and again it comes back to risk analysis. When we, when that was at the peak of the virus, the infection rate was 25 to 26%. I think it got to 30%. In Spain and Italy, it got up to 60% and 50%. For the last 50 days in New South Wales, it's been less than 0.5%. So when is it right to start? You know, you're not going to get it much lower than the 0.5% unless you really go all out to eradicate the virus. So you've got to do a risk analysis, and the risk now is extremely low. So there's no reason why crowds couldn't be let in, and you can continue with social distancing, and you continue with the hygiene matters, and we can have infra cameras measuring people's temperatures. I believe there's minimal to no risk having crowds, and and we gave ourselves another 2 to 3 weeks to look at the data, and we've done everything on the data. And with the relaxing of the social distancing measures, we want to see if that has any effect, and if it doesn't and the infection rate stays at less than 0.5%, and it has been that for 50 days, the risk of catching the virus at a venue is next to nil.
So is July 1 your date where you'll open the gates?
Yeah, well, that's what we're meeting with government about. We have set July 1. In racing, it might be a little bit different. We want to bring back owners early, we know as early as next week, and they can stay and watch their race and go, and then we'll gradually bring the members back and then the public. And so that's going to be over a staged period with the rugby league. We're definitely looking at the 1st of July as our date, and we believe the facts and figures will justify our position.
So you could have owners on the race courses as soon as this Saturday or next week. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. You know, the owners are the lifeblood of our industry. They're the ones that invest. And as I've said many times, owners put in New South Wales $350 million a year to have their horses compete, and that doesn't take into account the capital cost of the horse. And, you know, we pay them about $250-260 million in prize money and owner returns. So they subsidise the industry by $100 million. And the challenge for us racing administrators is to reduce that that variance between what it costs them to compete and what we pay them in prize money. So so they're the first people we should have back. They're the ones that are really subsidising the industry.
What type of crowd do you think you could get at an Everest? And what figures are you talking about for your NRL, which could then also be used for the racing industry?
Well, with the NRL, it really depends on the venue. The bigger the venue, the more you're going to get in because you can do the social distancing. As far as Randwick's concerned, we're just looking at that now as to what we believe is a crowd. Although, look, come mid-October, though, I'm confident that, you know, a lot of these restrictions will be removed. So you'll get, you know, probably more people than what we can get from the 1st of July.
That seems staggering that we've been able to get back so quickly. And what you've been able to achieve, you've had a lot of critics and a lot down here, and we've had a crack saying maybe you don't have time to run two industries, such as the NRL and the racing. How have you achieved it, Pete? Because you've worked miracles for NRL and racing.
Look, it's all about time management, and you know, you have to get up early in the morning and go to bed late at night. And I realise in this short period that I have to put in, and I did, and hopefully that has long-term benefit for both the racing and rugby league. And there's so many efficiencies between the both industries. There's so many things you learn from both industries that you can apply. There's been a lot of wins for racing that have actually come from rugby league, and there's been a lot of wins from rugby league that have come from racing. Being in both situations at the moment was beneficial for both codes.
What's the future for yourself personally? There's been a lot of talk about where you may go. Are you wanting to remain in racing and run New South Wales racing for years to come?
Look, I take every day as it comes, Michael. I never count my chickens before they're hatched. I'm very happy what I'm doing both at the moment as non-executive chairman, and that's, I should express that my role at the NRL is not a full-time role. It's a non-executive chairman. And at Racing New South Wales, I'm a full-time CEO. I have no plans at the moment to change what I'm currently doing.
But the free-to-air, we've got almost the perfect situation at the moment on Channel 7 where we get to see Sydney, Melbourne and the feature of the other states when they've got their carnivals. Is there any chance that something like this could continue out of this pandemic?
Look, we're certainly open to it because free-to-air goes to 100% of the audience. A lot of the older demographics still rely on free-to-air. So, you know, it should be an objective of ours, but we've also got to embrace the new technologies in streaming and through your phones and tablets and et cetera and do that better. But, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years, we've got to maintain our free-to-air presence. But over time, we have to be ready when the migration occurs to these streaming services.
Will Sydney races remain on a free-to-air channel post this period outside of your deal with Channel 7? Because you were working towards that prior to the pandemic, weren't you?
Yeah, we are, and we're still working with it. And, you know, we much appreciate Channel 7. They've been a fantastic partner. They've been with us all the way. And, you know, and anyone that knows me, I repay loyalty in spades for the people that give us loyalty. We don't forget it, and we repay that loyalty.
Last one on the AFL NRL. Are you surprised the AFL is behind the NRL in its return to playing?
Not really. Look, you know, they they took a particular type of strategy, we took a different one. They're only 2 weeks before they start, you know, and look, I know from personal experience how difficult it is to bring something back, so I could appreciate how difficult it was for the AFL, and I compliment them for their efforts.
What's your relationship now like with Racing Victoria? Has there been any softening of the ways during this period? Will we have more cohesive relationship moving forward?
Look, Greg Nicholls is certainly trying to do that. He's a great leader. He's been a breath of fresh air at Racing Australia at the moment, and he's trying to bring all the parties together. And look, he's doing a fantastic job, and we certainly support him and his leadership. So, you know, that's the best chance, I think, of all the states being united, not just New South Wales and Victoria, is through the efforts of Greg, and he's certainly been working hard to get that objective.
And last one, MRC, are they involved in the Everest? Have they retained their slot this year?
No, they haven't. No, unfortunately, the Everest slot went for a lot more money this year than it did last year. So there's been other bidders that have paid more. So unfortunately, the MRC missed out.
Peter, appreciate your time. Congratulations on the announcement yesterday. Read the prize money in the Spring Carnival dates, and a huge announcement this morning that owners will be returning to the track possibly as soon as this Saturday as well. We'll keep in contact as the Spring Carnival encroaches.
Good on you, Michael. Much appreciated.